Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we can be gathered in this way to worship you, the great and wonderful God. Father, we thank you for the great salvation you have provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your high calling. We thank you for making provisions for every need, and especially your provisions for us to respond well to what you desire of our lives. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world that we may have life and have it abundantly. And yet we also know that many of your children do not enjoy this abundance that you intend for us. We pray that you will help us not to be presumptuous, but to pay heed to what you have to say to us, so that we may be able to walk well with you, bearing fruit in every good work. We commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point in time, we are considering the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The subtopic for today, the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes, the sixth message. The messages under this subheading can help us appreciate the centrality of the role of the church in the fulfillment of God's purposes, and the big picture of how God wants church life to function. There are important points to take note and work out well if you are to fare well and respond well to God's call. Learning to view and approach life in a manner consistent with biblical revelation and the will of God. This is a central longing in the heart of all those who love God. And the intention is to communicate truths that will help us fulfill the longing of our hearts and also what God desires of us. So we have covered up to point number 15, and point 15 is the practical outworking in every aspect of our lives, how we ought to view and approach every issue in our lives in the light of God's call, and also understand that they are part of expressions of the lives of members of the body of Christ. Although there's an individual aspect in our response to God, at all times we should be conscious that the spiritual reality of body life, as God desires of us, is a constant reality, not just when we are gathered together in this way. And this is central if we want to respond well and participate and accomplish what God desires of us. Today we will continue with point number 16. Point number 16 is actually a continuation of point 15, the practical outworking. It is still on practical outworking, but I listed it separately because it is a major area, and that is spiritual warfare. So bear in mind, spiritual warfare is part of practical outworking in the light of God's call and what Paul has written in the preceding five chapters of Ephesians. So spiritual warfare is in Ephesians chapter 6. And what Paul has written here communicates to us a very important point, and that is, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. Whether we recognize it or not, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. And Paul makes it clear to us, we must learn to put on the full armor of God. If we want to live an overcoming life, we want to accomplish God's purposes, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We'll look at this soon in Ephesians chapter 6. I just mention a few points first, then we'll go to the text. But Paul mentions to us our struggle. So he tells us, it's not a simple thing. And it's not just some mental concepts we hold in our minds. if we want to live our lives well, there is a struggle that's going on. And struggle doesn't mean no good. If you want to live your life well, there is this aspect of struggle. And Paul tells us, primarily, the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the forces of darkness. And we must be careful not to give the devil an opportunity. We'll see that Paul tells us this in the midst of the section on practical outworking. Not to give the devil an opportunity to hinder us, to distract us, to cause us to go astray, to sin against God and the brethren. The spiritual warfare, learning to fight the good fight of faith, learning to overcome spiritual opposition, that this is an integral part of the lives of believers. We cannot choose otherwise. There's no option. You recognize, you do not recognize, you do not acknowledge it. We are facing spiritual opposition. It's an integral part of the lives of believers. And especially if you want to be serious in being engaged in the fulfillment of God's purposes, because the evil one is opposed to the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this is a very important aspect, integral part of the lives at a personal level and also together in the expression of church life. It is not feasible for us to fare well if we neglect or we have very little understanding of this area of truth. And believers generally actually has little understanding of this area of truth. Some are hardly conscious of it as they seek to work out their lives. There are many who do acknowledge the reality of spiritual warfare, but appreciation of what this means in a spiritual dimension and learning to discern, to understand, to recognize and how to counter the works of the evil one, many believers are rather ignorant of how to go about it. It is an important subject, and I've considered with you overcoming the evil one and the forces of darkness in 16 messages, AR 201-217. In the past, some have mentioned, sometimes they may have missed these messages. Some of you are younger in our midst and you're not sure how to go about listening to past messages. So from time to time, I will mention to you relevant messages which I may not be covering at that moment, because I've already covered quite a number of them, or to quite some degree in times past, so I will not be repeating them. So as we seek to understand how to respond well to God's call, this will be an important area of truth. Yes, now I'm concentrating on the major points, so in any case I will not be going into detail. But to appreciate, to understand this area, and to know how to fight the good fight of faith is essential. So now let us look at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 20. As I mentioned, it's a big subject, so I will only make some brief comments, and especially some comments that are more directly relevant to the flow of thought that I'm considering together with you, and also in the light of our appreciation of Lord's call, fulfillment of God's purposes, the centrality of the role of the church, and the flow of in Ephesians chapter 6. So there are some aspects I just want to make some brief comments. But bear in mind, this is a big subject. So for greater detail, you can refer to what I mentioned to you. It's actually a mini-series on spiritual warfare. But even there, although 16 messages, there's a lot that's not covered on the subject of spiritual warfare in those messages. But those messages can give us a reasonable understanding of what spiritual warfare is all about and how to be properly equipped, how to discern and how to counter the attacks of the evil one. So let us now look at Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10 to 20. Paul, after going into various aspects of practical outworking, in verse 10 he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." Paul says this is because he's actually coming to the end of the epistle. So having said all the preceding, and we've noted various points, so Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." In one sense, he's summing up in this phrase here. if you want to respond well, yes, you may try to understand all that I've said in the preceding chapters. Paul says, you need to be strong in the Lord. This is important. But not only that, he tells us the importance of being strong in the Lord because he wants to introduce an important subject whereby it is critical that we are strong in the Lord. But not only that, what he's about to tell us also helps us to understand how to be strong in the Lord. When he says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of the might, he goes on to say, put on the full armor of God. So it's helpful to appreciate what Paul writes here in this passage from the angle of how we can be strong in the Lord. If you know how to put on the full armor of God, it will help you to be strong in the Lord. So Paul says, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm. So the being strong, the putting on the full armor of God, is also important for what purpose? So that, that's the purpose, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's the, not the only reason for being strong in the Lord, but it is important. You want to be strong in the Lord, the other is putting on the full armor of God is important if we want to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You'll see Paul emphasizes as we go through this passage the importance of standing firm. But some of us, if we think of standing firm, we just think, oh, standing firm is just to stand. That's all. No. What Paul is talking about is actually effective warfare for the believer. But not just the believer, you'll see the whole thrust here, the emphasis, is expression of body life. Army. Soldiers in the army is fighting the good fight of faith together. But there's a very important need to stand firm. Why Paul puts it this way is because the attacks of the one can be very ferocious. It can also be subtle. But his goal is not just to tickle us or to just give us some pain. It's to destroy us and to attack us such that we will crumble. We will not be able to carry on. We will not be able to stand. We will not be able to walk with the Lord. So that's why Paul emphasizes the importance of being to stand firm. The other, as we go on, we will see that as we put on the full armor of God, yes, very critical, various aspects within us needs to be in a good shape, but ultimately to overcome the evil one, God has to do the work. The Lord has to help us. In our own strength, we will surely fail. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. In the flesh, we cannot wage spiritual warfare. The evil one will surely overcome us. The battle is in the spiritual realm. But God is not going to just fight this fight and we just sit there and watch. No, it's in us and through us. This is what this passage emphasizes. So let us now go on. But bear in mind, Paul says, our struggle. So here he's addressing us. It is our struggle. So very central to spiritual warfare is our part. But Paul wants to tell us it is our struggle is against the spiritual forces of wickedness, the forces of darkness. At the head of it is the evil one. But he has a lot of evil spirits working together with him. Many of them over many, many years have learned to specialize in many different areas of attack. They are cunning, and Paul says the schemes, the wiles of the evil one. And that is actually one of the areas that we need to learn to discern, to be able to recognize the wiles of the evil one, the schemes of the evil one. I've covered to some degree in the 16 messages that I mentioned to you. I cannot go into them at the moment, but just the principle of it is critical. If we do not know the schemes of evil, you cannot discern, how are we going to counter? And this is actually happening all the time. Believers are attacked, hit left, right, all over, without even knowing what is taking place. And the evil one often works through and deceives us into thinking that many things take place without our having to know the forces and effects at work. So we'll blame circumstances, we'll blame people, the workplace situations and so on, without realizing that behind it all, the evil one is actively at work. He works through situations, he works through people, and he attacks every faculty of the human being. So it is important for us to recognize this taking place and how to discern, how to take our stand, how to counter. So Paul says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Again, he said the therefore links to is spiritual warfare. We need the armor of God. On our own, we cannot. So that you'll be able to resist. And this is a fundamental principle in spiritual warfare. You can also say this, the other side of it, but the total picture and our walk with God in our response to God's call. There are two primary, one way of looking at the two major aspects. One, submit, the other, resist. The basic posture we must maintain at all times. Submit to God, resist the evil one. And we need to learn how to submit to God and resist the world. Not just acknowledge it, recognize that we need to do that, but it's just a concept to us. How do you take this stand, maintain this posture, and also continue to grow in the deepening of the meaning of this posture, the posture throughout our lives of submission to God? What does that mean? The other is the posture of resisting the evil one, the forces of darkness, and all that comes from him, whether it's spiritual attacks, influences, whatever works of the evil one, in our own lives, in the lives of others, and in relation to the Lord's work. If we learn this well, we can be effective. We can not only participate, but contribute significantly to the Lord's work. Because ultimately, the advancement of the kingdom of God is in the spiritual realm, and that is what it's all about. Participating in the fulfillment of God's purposes is the advancement of God's kingdom. And the need, not only to recognize the forces of darkness at work, but how to counter, overcome, so that the kingdom of God can advance. Yes, you also need to concentrate on the positive. But if you do not know how to counter the works of the evil one, the work of God will be seriously hindered and frustrated. So this is very important. We must put on the full armor of God so that we'll be able to resist. And the you here and this whole passage, Paul is addressing not only individual believers, it includes that, but plural. Together, we learn how to resist. There's a need to learn how to resist at the personal level, but as a body, in church line, to learn how to take our stand together to resist is very powerful. And we must more and more learn how to do that. But if we want to do that, we must bear in mind what Paul tells us here from verse 14 onwards. This is not exhaustive in relation to the subject of spiritual warfare, but this is an important passage in regards to spiritual warfare. So Paul says, verse 14, but maybe I just complete the last part of verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Having done everything, that is, after putting on the full armor of God, learning how to resist, you must also continue to stand firm. So, as I mentioned, he emphasizes the importance. Now, in the midst of it all, the evil attacks, and then we crumble. We must be able to stand firm. But to be able to stand firm, you must put on the full armor of God. So, verse 14, he says again, stand firm, therefore. Important, stand firm. How? So, he begins. Having girded your loins with truth. What is this? I've covered with you in many messages the importance of truth. And even in recent times, the posture of God and truth. Here we can appreciate truth from a few angles, so I can only make a very few comments. But many messages can be preached on this. Very important, not just concepts. The truth here can be appreciated from this angle, that is important for believers, personal together, to grow in their understanding, appreciation of the truth, knowledge, understanding. What God has revealed in the scriptures, understanding the truth about God, His ways and so on, including the evil one, the forces of darkness, how they work, how to take our stand. So we need to understand the truth, knowledge. Very important. But here it's not worldly knowledge. It is knowledge in relation to the Christian faith. Truth that God has revealed, but it cannot be just concepts. It is truth that needs to be properly appreciated, absorbed, our minds renewed. Makes a difference to our perspective, our approach to life, and then how to take our stand and fight the good fight of faith. But it's not just understanding the knowledge. It's the truth absorbed so that it becomes what David says, truth in the innermost being. It becomes a part of our being. This is critical. All these years, the messages that are preached, if it doesn't become that, then it has not accomplished what is intended. It must lead to a renewal of the mind, the transformation of our hearts, our minds, and our whole approach to life. And it is an integral part of moral spiritual stature. You see, as I go on, the various aspects of the full armor of God, they are interrelated, they overlap, but there's an emphasis on different aspects. So gird your loins with truth. Paul begins with this because this is all-encompassing. It's very rich in meaning. It is also very related to the second aspect, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We know righteousness is the positive moral dimension that we need to nurture and develop. If we want to fight the good of fight of faith, this is critical. Otherwise, we will not be able to withstand the attacks of the evil one, not to talk about overcoming and accomplishing God's purposes. But you notice that this breastplate of righteousness is a certain angle of emphasis, but in one sense, it can be viewed as part of the bigger picture of having girded your loins with truth. Because I mentioned just now, truth recognized, absorbed, becomes a part of a being, includes righteousness. But the righteousness here, yes, the emphasis is on this moral dimension, the development of the moral qualities of the being. That is the emphasis. This is critical if you want to be able to fight well and also to be able to stand firm. Then Paul talks about having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice here he says having shod. Now this is an area that Christians all over the world have a lot of interest in, talks a lot about it, and may think that they are very involved in it. And what is that? The spread of the gospel. It's very strongly emphasized. Correctly so, the spread of the gospel very important. It's just that whether believers have properly understood the biblical emphasis and presentation of the meaning of being properly involved in the spread of the gospel. And just in this verse, not even the full sentence, there are very important things here that Christians often neglect and do not properly link it to the meaning of responding well to God's call to spread the gospel. What is it? Okay, I'll just make a few brief comments. And of course, when you link this to other passages in the scriptures, including what believers often link to the Great Commission, the last few verses in Matthew 28 and so on. But just now, as I said, I'll just look at the immediate context. already a number of things are important for us to bear in mind. So first, he says, having shod your feet. So why does Paul talk about the feet here? Breastplate of righteousness, you can say breastplate protects the heart. So if moral qualities are not there, the evil attacks the heart and you can be dead, critically wounded or die, fatally wounded. So righteousness critical. But why does Paul use the word feet? Having shot your feet, I think it can be meaningfully appreciated from this angle. Feet for what? Moving around. So as you move around, this can then be linked to moving around in the spread of the gospel, but also moving around from the angle of bearing a witness. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, all these are vitally related to the spread of the gospel. So the feet moving around, but Paul says, shod your feet with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. So your feet must be shod. That means you must wear proper shoes. And what are those? With the readiness of the gospel of peace. Are we ready for this spread of the gospel? The readiness of the believer. Are you equipped? And this equipping, one aspect involves our understanding, our appreciation of the gospel, not just some words, but the meaning appreciated in our lives so that we can properly transmit the meaning of the gospel to others. And I've tried to impress upon you that the gospel is not just a few bare words of how Christ has died for our sins, we need to repent, and even some even neglect the emphasis of repentance. But far beyond that, the gospel is the good news. It starts with conversion. So knowing how to help a person to have a good response to the gospel, properly converted, and also to carry on from there, the full gospel of God's intentions for us in Christ. And the spreading of the gospel, if you learn well, you grow well. Paul throughout his life is concentrating on the gospel. But is it just to non-believers? No. Believers also need to be helped in a fuller appreciation and enjoyment and experience and growing into all that God intends for us with the coming of Christ, the good news that Christ has come. In other words, a fuller experience of the salvation in Christ that God intends for us. Again, salvation, sometimes Christians tend to link it very much to conversion. Yes, it involves conversion. But the salvation in Christ is the whole thing. Salvation, conversion is only the beginning. So, the readiness. And that is something that we need to continually grow. Work at it so that we are more and more ready, equipped for effective transmission and spread of the gospel. So this one area that we need to pay attention to. If you are not properly equipped, we go around trying to spread the gospel. First, what we are transmitting can be very dilute. We can even end up in an approach whereby many may try to coax many to say yes to the God, to receiving Christ and so on, and they say yes and so on and pray a prayer, and they may think they're Christians when they're not even Christians, and that kind of state is very, very problematic. And there are those who think that they are God's children, they are Christians, when they are not born again. I will not elaborate on that now. You probably have some idea. But it's not just helping a person to be converted. That's one important aspect, yes. But also, the richness of the gospel, if we properly appreciate that, it will make a lot of difference when we help someone into the kingdom of God. We'll also be in a position to share with the young convert. First, prior to conversion, and then the process of it in a deep response to the gospel. Is that feasible? Yes. A person on the point of conversion can enter into a rich experience of the gospel message and a deep response to God and relationship with God. And a good starting point is very important, and also how to carry on from there. We know, for example, the Apostle Paul. He had a very good start. He was a fierce persecutor of the church, but the moment he responded to the Lord, it was a deep response. And that is feasible for any believer, not just for Paul. So bear in mind that our hearts need to be burdened for the perishing. All of us are called to be part of the reaching out to the lost and also the spread of the gospel. But we need to understand what that involves and how to be ready. And then Paul went on, taking up the shield of faith. So the shield, faith. So why does Paul link faith with shield? Faith, there are many different aspects to it. They are important. But one important aspect of it, Paul links it to shield. What is the meaning of the shield? The shield is to protect yourself. To shield from what? The flaming arrows of the evil one. And the shield can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you have that kind of shield? What does it mean? What does it involve? What are the flaming arrows of the evil one? There are many. That's why it's plural arrows. And they are flaming arrows. It can do a lot of destruction, a lot of damage to our lives. And at personal level as well as a whole group. And the evil one, his flaming arrows are going on all the time. Whether you realize it, you don't realize it, you can be hit without even realizing you are being hit. I just mentioned a few, but there are many of these flaming arrows of the evil one. Doubt is one major area. Deception, fear, anxiety. Now in all these different areas, we can be hit very badly. It can cripple us. But the shield of faith, how does it work? The shield of faith. Faith, in times past I've mentioned, in the book Man of Faith, I preached on this subject. Very critical, you must know the truth. An appropriate response to the truth is true faith. So if you want to take up the shield of faith, you need to know the truth, and with the truth, you can counter the lies of the evil one. So does a believer need to live in fear, in anxiety, in doubt, and all that? No need. But can we be full of anxiety and fear and doubt and so on? Yes. Can we be terribly deceived? Yes. Actually, all these things are taking place all the time. Widespread in the lives of believers that hinders and cripple the lives of many and can destroy our lives seriously. But we need to grow in our knowledge of the truth of God and the truth that counters why we need not be anxious. So one has to do with verses in the scriptures that helps us to understand how we can have peace and joy and so on, why we need not be fearful. But that's not all. The truth, I mentioned just now, why Paul began by having girded your loins with truth. Then he says, in addition, taking up the shield of faith. The knowledge of the truth, the absorption of the truth, that is critical. Otherwise, you want to take up the shield of faith, you will not be able to be effective because you do not know the truth. The other is, even if you want to affirm the truth, there must be a certain degree of meaning and reality in your heart, in your absorption of the truth into your heart, the righteousness. So all these are related, as I mentioned just now, and they are important. But you still need to know to take up the shield of faith, because you may love the Lord, you may have a certain degree of appreciation of the truth, but in the midst of spiritual warfare, you do not recognize the flaming arrows of the evil one, and you do not know how to affirm your faith in God, your faith in what God has revealed, then the evil one, the missiles that come, the flaming arrows that come, can still hurt us a lot. So we need to discern, recognize, take our stand. That's not the meaning of countering. Counter the attacks of the one by the truth and in the power of God. Only the power of God can overcome, not on our own. But the power of God working in us and through us. These words are not directed to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's directed at us. We need to take up the shield of faith. But as I mentioned, it needs to be in the power of God. So how? It is God working in us and through us, and it is not an automatic process. That is why our struggle, we need to take up the shield of faith. Who is taking it up? Not God. We have to take it up. But it is looking to God to guide us, to speak to us, to help us to know how to respond. So this is very important. We need to bear in mind, as I said, I only highlight some major points. I cannot go into a lot of details here. But the shield of faith is actually very powerful. It's very wide-ranging in various aspects. But the shield of faith, for it to work well, includes not only our understanding of the truth, I said the truth absorbed, and is very much related to what is covered in the book, The Man of Faith. It's not just faith as a concept, but the man of faith picking up the shield of faith. It flows forth from the reality of our heart, our life, and truth absorbed. And at the core center of it is our faith in God. Our faith in what He has revealed. So we need to know God, we need to know what is real, and take our stand. Affirm our faith, not just in our words, but from our hearts. And you will realize, if you go to spiritual warfare, you know how to take this stand, actually you can see the result. The result can at times be quite dramatic. But over a period of time, you will be able to see as you learn. But we need to learn. So spiritual warfare and what Paul is talking about here, you must understand. We need to recognize, understand what Paul is talking about, and learn. We must learn to fight the good fight of faith. We must put on the full armor of God. And it is a growing process. It's not, I don't have armor of God, now I put on and that's it. It is a growing process. But the deeper, the fuller we appreciate, the deeper, the fuller we respond, the better. Just as in all other aspects of spiritual learning and growing. It's a lifetime process, but it's not just in a very complacent, shallow manner of response, and we just let time pass, and slowly, slowly, we hope to grow a little here and there. The whole trust of biblical revelation, there is an earnestness in it. There's a trust in it. There is a fight that's going on, war. Not just preparing for war, but now. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. Can we afford to be complacent, careless? No. Earnest, alert, critical. So taking up the shield of faith. So as I've mentioned, I gave some examples just now, but I did mention the faith part involves many, many different areas of how, as the evil attacks, we learn how to counter with the truth in faith, according to the power of God. So whether it be, as I mentioned just now, fear, anxiety, and so on, or any other area of attack, at a personal level, in church life, even trying to stir up problems amongst the brethren, misunderstandings, antagonism, bitterness, whatever it may be, or working on something together in the Lord's call, but lack of unity. As I go on, I'll mention some of these things. But there are many different areas that evil can attack. But we need to not only discern, but counter it with the truth and affirming faith. And our hearts go together with it. And when, as a body of Christ, an expression of church life, we learn how to do that properly, it is very powerful. The resources of God are more than sufficient for us to live our lives well, including this area. But we must be careful. Bear in mind, we have a formidable foe. He is actually very powerful. And he has many working together with him. And there are so many wiles and schemes of the evil one. And as I mentioned, deception is a very powerful weapon that he has. And in many ways he will seek to deter, to discourage, to tempt, and so on. But it is feasible. That's why Paul says that we can overwhelmingly conquer. That is possible. That means what God has provided for us is more than sufficient. But we can easily be overcome. We can easily be attacked and hurt. And that is actually ongoing all the time. So we need to bear in mind, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, we have a formidable foe, but we need not be deterred. We need not be discouraged. We need not be anxious. The assurances of the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus says, "My peace I give to you," all these are not empty words. Behind it are very powerful spiritual realities. It's just that it's critical. Our hearts and minds must be ready to receive the truth, and our hearts respond in such a way that we'll then be able to fight this good fight of faith. And Paul is now telling us what are some of the major aspects that we need to bear in mind. The shield of faith can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. But we also need to, as we read these words, look to the Lord to help us understand, have we been hit in many different areas? How then to recognize and overcome and extinguish these flaming arrows? So this is a dynamic thing that's ongoing. Do not allow these flaming arrows to hit us, pierce us, and continue to damage our lives. This is very common. And as I said, there are many arrows that can hit us in many different areas. So as I said, I cannot go into detail. You can listen to the messages where I've gone into greater detail. Every aspect of our being in many different areas of life, it can be. The evil one will be attacking. Then Paul went on to say, and take the helmet of salvation. How to appreciate this? From what I can see, it can be meaningfully appreciated in this way. Helmet. And this is the armor. So a soldier, what is the purpose of the helmet? It's quite obvious. The helmet is to protect the head. So what does that tell us? The head is very critical. If there's no helmet, and bear in mind this was when Paul wrote this, it's not today. Atomic bomb and all that kind of thing. Arrows and swords and so on. It's that kind of situation. But if you have no helmet and somebody shoot an arrow and hit the head, that will be the end of you. The head is very important. So helmet, very helpful to protect the head. So to protect, Paul is then telling us, salvation, very important. In other words, you're going to talk about this whole subject of spiritual warfare, you have no helmet, you're going to talk about this full armor of God and all these things. It's no use. Your head is exposed. You won't just... the arrow hit your head and that's the end of it. So you need the helmet. What is that? The helmet of salvation. So what is that? The salvation that God has provided for us in Christ. So first of all, you must be a true convert. If you are not a Christian, you have not entered into salvation, you have not experienced the salvation God has provided for us in Christ, you don't have to talk about spiritual warfare. You're totally exposed. You cannot. Your head is exposed. Very, very vulnerable. The salvation that God has provided us in Christ. But here is meaningful to appreciate from this angle. Not just the point that you are converted, but that all these various resources for spiritual warfare, they are to be found in Christ and in the wonderful salvation that God has provided for us in Christ. All the resources are there that comes together with this salvation so that we can be properly protected and also fight the good fight. So we need to appreciate more. What is this salvation in Christ? What God has provided for us in Christ? So, bear in mind this aspect. Important, I will have to move on. Then Paul went on to say, and the sword of the Spirit, which or who is the Word of God. Again, I cannot take much time, but notice here, breastplate of righteousness. So, what is the breastplate? The breastplate is righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. So, shield of faith. What is the shield? The faith is the shield. Shield of faith. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. What is the helmet? Salvation. So, same thing. Sword of the Spirit. What is the sword? It's the Spirit. So, the Spirit is the sword. Then, if we look at it more carefully, we ask ourselves, why does Paul mention here about the sword of the Spirit? The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. So, a few aspects that are helpful for us to bear in mind. First, in spiritual warfare, the role of the Holy Spirit is critical. But the other is, in spiritual warfare, does it mean then, oh, the sword of Spirit then is for the Spirit to work? So we just have to trust the Spirit of God to do His part, so the Spirit of God will work. No. Bear in mind, this is the armor of God. And Paul tells us we have to take up the full armor of God. We have to have our, we have to gird our loins with truth, shod our feet with the readiness of the gospel. We have to take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. All these things that Paul is talking about here is concentrating on the role of the believer. So even when he talks about the sword of the Spirit, remember, look at it, he says, take the helmet and the sword of the Spirit. Helmet and the sword of the Spirit. So it is still our part. And the sword, we know, in actual warfare at that time, the sword is very important to cut down the enemy, to overcome the enemy. So who can cut down the enemy, destroy the enemy? It is the Spirit. But here it's not the Spirit working on its own. No. It is the Spirit working in and through the believer. Does the Spirit of God have the freedom to work in and through you in spiritual warfare? How powerfully? It will not be the same for everybody. We must learn how to order our lives, how to go about it such that the release of the power of the Spirit, but before releasing, is first in our hearts. So we have talked earlier on about the role of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit and so on. All these are very relevant, and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. All these are actually very relevant in spiritual warfare. So the Holy Spirit filling us, working in us, and working through us. Later we'll see, yes, a major aspect is prayer. But not just prayer. Every aspect of our lives. The manifestation of the power of the Spirit in and through our lives. Even the spread of the gospel, and wherever we may be, and as we discern the evil one at work and the force of darkness at work in our lives and the lives of others, we want to release the power of the Spirit. And we have a say. It's so wonderful. It's very difficult for us to properly appreciate it. And often we just take all these things for granted, or we're not so impressed with it because we read the Bible, we're so familiar with it. That the way God works, the way the Spirit works, including accomplishing God's purposes, including spiritual warfare, is vitally related to the life and the response and the conduct of believers. We can be limiting the Holy Spirit. We can also be releasing the power of the Spirit. Our times together on Wednesday, we spend quite some time on the subject of prayer. Very important subject. It's not that you'll always be the same, no matter what. No. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. How God works. That's the way God has ordained the moral spiritual principles. And it makes a lot of sense. We are trying to grow in our appreciation. What do these things mean? So God is all powerful, yes. But do we see a lot of the power of God manifested in this world? In some senses, yes. But actually, it is clear. God actually wants to manifest a lot more of His power, His wisdom, His glory, and the accomplishment of His purposes. But He wants to work through people. And there are also moral and spiritual principles that God abides by. You may say God is all powerful, but His conduct, how He works, flows forth from His being. It cannot be contrary to His being. So how He has created us and the forces of darkness, including the evil one, how they have fallen, and how they are to be overcome, there are principles that God abides by. The scriptures tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, yes. But it also tells us, this is in the 1 Corinthians 14, but at the same time it tells us that God is a God of order. With God it doesn't mean anything goes. It's not like that. That is why we need to pay attention to the moral spiritual principles that are revealed in the scriptures. God is a God of order, and the way He works, the way He manifests His power, there are principles governing the conduct of God. So, in relation to this, the sword of the Spirit in spiritual warfare, here Paul is telling us, is directly related to believers. Each one, and even more importantly here, is talking about the army of God. How do we fight the good fight of faith as an army and release and manifest the power of the Spirit and the sword of the Spirit that can go forth and cut down the enemy and destroy the enemy and the strongholds of the enemy? Is there such a thing? Yes. At times Christians will talk about these things, but we need to appreciate there is a reality here, but how to go about it? What's the reality? Wrong ideas about this subject, and then going about thinking that we are now conquering, overcoming the evil one, destroying enemy stronghold. If we do not know how to go about it properly, firstly, a lot of it can be just an illusion, but the other is we can actually touch spiritual reality and suffer terrible attacks of the evil one that can cripple many of God's children. And these are real things that do take place. So we need to approach this subject prayerfully, carefully. We cannot neglect this subject. It is an important subject. As I mentioned, whether you recognize it, you will not recognize it, it is ongoing. And it is said, if the evil one has such an easy time attacking us, hitting us, his arrows piercing us all over, and we do not even know what has hit us, our lives hurt, what God intends in and through our lives hindered, and we don't even know what is going on, perhaps a little bit here and there, but so many important aspects we do not even know. So important to know this subject, but also to know how to go by it prayerfully, carefully, the biblical wholesome approach. Otherwise, as we enter this area, if we do not go about it properly, from what I'm able to understand, there are moral spiritual principles involved. When you approach it in a wrong way, you actually become even more vulnerable to the evil one. It gives him a license to attack you more severely. The evil one wants to destroy all of us, each one, as well as the work of God and whole of church life. But he cannot do whatever he wants. But sometimes believers, to some degree, they recognize this principle, and they can be under a false sense that it is okay. Why? It's okay. God will restrain. Even cannot do whatever he wants. There's an element of truth behind that. But we need to realize that though God can restrain the evil one, and though he does restrain the evil one, know this, that there are many, many aspects of the attacks of the evil one that God would want to restrain, but he allows even because there are moral spiritual principles involved, which grants the evil one the license. We'll come to this quite soon. I mean pointing in that direction, but not the whole subject. When we violate the moral spiritual principles, when we enter the spiritual warfare in a certain way, we allow him the license to attack more severely. When we are arrogant, when we are self-confident, or we have false notions, wrong doctrines about this area, we open up ourselves to a lot of spiritual attacks. In times past, I've mentioned, there are some things, in the name of Jesus, whatever also I can overcome. There's a sense in which that is true, but do we know what that means, in the name of Jesus? There's a lot of power that can be released, yes. But a false notion of in the name of Jesus, no problem, I can overcome, can result in severe casualties. Or just fighting spiritual warfare, but it's all an illusion. I will just time is getting by. I think I can only say a little more. I cannot say complete this subject today, although I intended to cover it today. But I'll just briefly mention a few the following verses. But this part about the sword of the Spirit, bear in mind the importance of the manifestation of the power of the Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, the sword that cuts and destroys the enemy. But here Paul is talking about the believer. The response, the role of the believer in relation to the release of the power of the Spirit. So important for us to appreciate the role, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Then Paul went on, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. This is a transition which, the Lord willing, the next point, on point 17, I will talk about the importance of prayer. It's a transition. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit is, we can view as part of spiritual warfare. But Paul is actually from there going on to talk about another very vital issue, the importance of prayer. But as I mentioned to you, the various points are interrelated. But it's important to also appreciate the subject of prayer, which Paul, in this passage in Ephesians, are very important points that he listed on the subject of prayer. He didn't just say pray. Prayer is very important. But there are various things that are important, which we cannot go into at the moment. But just link it to spiritual warfare first. And just to mention that in spiritual warfare, prayer is very important. And Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. In spiritual warfare, it has to be in the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, prayer also has to be in the Spirit and the release of the power of the Spirit. And a very important way in which the power of the Spirit is manifested and released is through prayer. And Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Otherwise, there's no power. So we need to learn how to pray in the Spirit and not in the flesh. As I mentioned, I only highlight major points, but I cannot elaborate at the moment. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So you just see, in one small, in one short verse, there are several important points here. If you don't pay attention, we are not careful, we just read it and it's just very familiar. But there are very important points here. As I said, one aspect is from the angle of spiritual warfare, but later on we'll consider from the angle of prayer. But now it's prayer in the context of warfare. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and Paul says, with this in view, be on the alert. Alertness important. Why? Because the enemy, Peter tells us, roaring lion, seeking for anyone he can devour. Paul tells us about the schemes of evil one, the flaming arrows of evil one. There needs to be alertness. Are we alert? Or we are hit in so many ways we still do not know. And then the other is perseverance. And this perseverance is actually a very positive word. Here it's not just trying to persevere, gritting our teeth, it's so terrible, just hoping we can survive. Or sometimes I use this picture, someone drowning and just trying, hoping to put your nose above the water. perseverance in the scriptures and the epistles of Paul, for example, in this context, is meant to communicate to us a very positive, powerful thing, and very important. This perseverance also is meant to be at all times and continue throughout our time on earth. It's perseverance in the power of God, together with God, in fellowship with God, and all the various things that Paul has listed here. And they are all very positive things. Learning, absorbing the truth in fellowship with God, the shield of faith, more and more appreciate the meaning of the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit. But all these we need to continually work at it with all perseverance, with alertness, and together with all petition for all the saints. Paul is here trying to commit us, concern for our own lives as well as others. And the starting point is the saints. Some people think the main thing is outreach to non-believers. True, very important. But the scriptures actually emphasize a lot on the building up of the saints. Very strong emphasis. Because if the saints are not strong, how are you going to reach out effectively? You'll collapse. So we need to pray for the saints. We need to pray for one another. And also for God's children all over the world. We are all part of the universal church. The prayer for the saints is very important. With all prayer, pray at all times in the Spirit, alert, perseverance, petition for all the saints, and then Paul went and pray on my behalf. What is that? Paul serving the Lord, praying for God's children who are serving Him more intensely in the spread of the gospel, Christian workers. Paul says, pray on my behalf. You can also link this praying for the Lord's work. And he says, opening of my mouth, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am better in chains than in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I thought I should just complete up to this part and then elaborate then next passage, then carry on from here. So just very briefly, praying for the Lord's work. And bear in mind, Paul is, you can link all this to spiritual warfare. Because God's children seeking to serve the Lord, they are under spiritual attack. The Lord's work, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You don't just say, oh, I'm just now going to go, I'm going to speak with boldness. It's not just like that. It's a spiritual exercise. It's spiritual labor. To do that well, prayer support, is the context of spiritual warfare. There's a need to counter, to overcome the forces of darkness. They need spiritual support from this angle. And also to know how to communicate the gospel effectively, properly, wholesomely. As I mentioned, the gospel in the end is the fullness of the gospel message, the full salvation. God intends to speak boldly, not fleshly boldness, but empowered by the Spirit. And there can be a lot of trials and difficulties, and yet God's servants able to carry on with perseverance, with boldness. They need prayer support and bullet as I ought to speak. Give some time to reflect on what this means. People like Paul. But the principle actually applies to every believer. We need to learn how to speak as we ought to speak. How to communicate the gospel effectively. One is the content, the words. The other is the how to speak as I ought to speak includes the spiritual dimension, the power behind the words, the weight behind the words that you speak. And this is also true as we pray for all the saints, for one another, for ourselves, and for us as we seek to work out together in church life. Spiritual warfare is going on in the midst of all this, the reality of the spiritual realm, learning how to speak as we ought. The content, the wholesomeness, words that edify, and the weight, the power behind the words, and the appropriateness of the words. In the earlier chapters 4 or 5, Paul talks about speaking with edification. I will stop here for today because of time, although actually I would have liked to carry on. We will carry on, the Lord willing, the next message. But try to bear in mind, this important passage in spiritual warfare, it's not all that there is to spiritual warfare, but I've sought to highlight some important points. And we need to look to the Lord for fuller appreciation of what these things mean if we want to respond well to God's call. It's an integral part of our response to God's call and in the expression or working of church life. As I mentioned here, the picture here is not individual soldiers fighting the war. It's a war. And it's not individual soldiers. Soldier is part of an army. Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Verse 12. Our is plural. So it's learning to fight as an army. And if we really understand what Paul is talking about here and respond well, it's a very powerful army because we have a great God. We'll mention briefly the Lord willing the next message, some brief comments on these things. So, but now let us spend some time to prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. Reflect over what Paul is telling us here, that the Lord may grant us spiritual insight. And it's vital, this mini series of messages that I'm communicating here, it's vital that we do not only acknowledge the truth with our brains. It's not sufficient. We need to look to the Lord for spiritual insight, and that these truths that are being communicated become a part of our life. And how to respond to God. Every area of our lives worked out consistent with these vital truths that Paul is communicating to us in the book of Ephesians. It's one whole beautiful picture in Ephesians. A very powerful book. A very important book. In revealing to us the mystery and the way to fulfill God's purposes and the centrality of the role of the church. So let's spend some time looking to the Lord that He may speak to us, impress deeply upon us these major areas of truth that are important if we want to respond well to God's call. So let's ask the Lord to speak to us, and also what are the areas that we need to respond more deeply to Him. We talked about spiritual warfare, the flaming missiles of the evil one, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Ask the Lord to help us to recognize, are there arrows already that are hitting us, including sometimes important parts of our being? Are we being hit in our heart, in our head? Our emotions manipulated by the evil one? Have we been deceived in certain areas that are important? Has the evil one deceived us, worked in our lives such that we are hindered from contributing, participating meaningfully in church life? Or worse, our lives a hindrance, a stumbling block to others in the outworking of God's purposes? This is a serious matter. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. This portion on spiritual warfare is addressed to us. Ask the Lord to speak to us how to respond meaningfully to this important passage on spiritual warfare in relation to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for speaking to us through the Apostle Paul, through the Scriptures, the importance of being strong in the Lord and the strength of Your might, the need to put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the evil one. Father, we thank You for the wonderful salvation You provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and together with it, the resources needful for us to overcome the wiles and the attacks of the evil one. We ask that You will help us to know how to make good use of all the resources and provisions You have made for us, so that indeed we may understand how to gird our loins with truth, how to put on the breastplate of righteousness, how our feet can be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, how we can effectively take up the shield of faith and extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and how to put on the helmet of salvation, all the resources that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the sword of the Spirit can cut down and destroy the enemy as we learn how to fight the good fight of faith, that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to manifest His power, working mightily in and through our lives. Help us to learn how to wage this warfare in the way you deserve us, to always be on the alert with all perseverance, praying not only for ourselves but also for the brethren, and not only the brethren in our midst as we seek to work out church life, but also for all the saints throughout the world, the universal church, and all those laboring for you, and how the gospel can spread with effectiveness. Your children learning how to speak as we ought to speak, knowing that all these things take place in the context of spiritual warfare. Father, we pray that you will help us not to be ignorant, not to be complacent, not to be careless, and at the same time, not to be frightened, fearful, anxious, not to be deterred in the midst of the trials and difficulties, but to know that we can overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. And as we seek to fight the good fight of faith in fellowship with the brethren as an effective army of God, according to the resources you've provided for us and the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that we can overcome and accomplish your intentions for our lives and accomplish your purposes. We know that the way ahead is not easy, and you have not promised us an easy life, but you've assured us that as we seek to serve you, walk with you in truth and love, you will help us, and we can be strong in you. Even now we thank you for the Lord's Supper that you provided for us, which is one of your provisions for us, to strengthen us and also to help us to be ready for our meaningful walk with you each day in the context of spiritual warfare. We ask that you help us to know how to prepare our hearts each time we approach the Lord's table, that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Help us to prepare our hearts, help us to partake in faith, so that we may be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ, and help us to learn how to live a true life of faith grounded in the truth revealed in the Scriptures, guided by the Spirit of truth, as you desire of us. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.